God's promise to David. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7. When King David lived in his house, and God had given him rest from all his enemies all around, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "Look, I live in a beautiful house of cedar trees, but the ark of God lives inside curtains." Nathan said to King David, "Go and do all that is in your heart, because God is with you." But the same night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build me a house for me to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day. I've always moved around in a tent and in a tabernacle." So you see, David had this idea to build a physical house for God, and Nathan the prophet says, "Oh yes, that's what God wants." But then God's word came to Nathan and said, "No, actually it isn't." So the lesson is that we can assume, we can think that God wants us to do something, of course, when actually he doesn't. So we've got to be really careful that we don't just assume that, this is what God wants, got to be good with this, and actually he isn't. So God went on talking to Nathan and said, "All the time that I walked with all the children of Israel, did I ever say a word to any of the tribes of Israel saying, 'Why haven't you built me a house of cedar?' So go and tell my servant David this, 'Thus says the Lord of armies, I took you from the sheep pen, from following the sheep, that you should be the prince over my people, Israel. I've been with you wherever you went. I've cut off all your enemies from in front of you. I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may live in their own place and be moved no more. And the children of wickedness will not hurt them any more. And I will cause you to rest from all your enemies." And further, God tells you that God will make you a house. So there was David wanting to build God a house, and God says, no need to do that, I'll build you a house. But the idea of a house, it can mean a physical house of bricks and stones, or it can mean a family. And God means, I'm going to make you a house, that is, a family. So the promise went on, "When your days are finished, and you will sleep with your fathers," so death is like a sleep. "When we die, we're all going to die. Nan and Pa, Ma and Grandad, all going to die."
It's asleep.
It is asleep. And why is it asleep? For believers?
Because they're baptized.
And
they're resurrected.
That's right, because they're going to be resurrected. So when we die, from the dead, that's right. When we die, we're unconscious. We don't have any soul that goes on living in heaven or anywhere else. We go back to the dust, but when Jesus comes back, just as surely as Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise from the dead. And so death is like a sleep. And that is the most wonderful comfort for those who don't want God in their lives. They don't have that comfort, and death is a tragedy. It's the end, it's the finish. We're never going to see each other again. But for those who have truly believed, death is a sleep. And so God says to David, through Nathan, "When your days are finished," and just think, every day we've got is one of the days over. We've got a limited number of days. "And one day they shall finish, and we shall die, we shall sleep. I will set up your seed," that is your son, "after you, who will come out of your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever."
Isn't God talking about Jesus?
That's right, he's talking about Jesus. Because these are the very words that the angel quotes when he appears to Mary and says, "You're going to have a baby, and he is going to be the special son promised to David."
And who was it?
Jesus. So he will build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
So David's family had Jesus.
That's right. Jesus was the descendant of David. And God says, I will be his father, and he will be my son. So it follows then that Jesus was the son of God, but he was also the son or the descendant of David. And the only way that could work out is if a woman, an ordinary woman, who was a direct descendant of David, would become pregnant, would expect a baby from God directly. And that's just what happened when the angel appeared to her and said, Mary, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, has made you expect a baby. And it's going to be your baby, and it's going to be God's baby. So in this wonderful way, this wonderful promise was fulfilled. So it's important to understand that Mary was an ordinary woman. Now, if Jesus was God, then Mary was the mother of God. And, of course, she wasn't an ordinary woman. The Bible is very clear that she was an ordinary woman and she had other children by Joseph after she had Jesus. And she was a descendant of David.
Dad, do you think that Jesus' brothers and sisters would be, like, jealous of Jesus being the son of...
Well, yes, I think they were, because it says in John 7 that neither did his brothers believe in him. So the brothers of Jesus, to start with, didn't believe in him, although it seems that later on they did. So, yes, you're right, they were jealous.
But then didn't they get to like him better?
Yes, in the end, it seems they did, James in particular. So then, Jesus did not exist physically before he was born. And when we read in the New Testament that Jesus came from God, it doesn't mean he floated down through the sky. It means he was a man sent from God, just like John the Baptist was a man sent from God. But it doesn't mean he existed before he was born. So the promise goes on. If he sins, I will punish him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the children of men. So Jesus could have sinned. If he sins, if this great son, who was going to be the son of David and the son of God, if this great son sins, he's going to be punished. So Jesus could have sinned. And that is what makes the character and the life and history of Jesus so exciting. That any time he could have sinned, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he says, may this cup pass from me, I don't want to drink it, I don't want to die on the cross. When he's on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet he never sinned, and that's the wonderful thing. And God goes on to David, your house and your kingdom will be established forever before you. Your throne will be established forever. So that means that the throne or the kingdom of Jesus would be the kingdom of David, set up and restored. Which means that just as David was king in Jerusalem, so Jesus will be king in Jerusalem. David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, Lord God? And what is my family that you've brought me to this? And yet this was just a small thing in your eyes, O Lord. You've spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. This is not the way of men, O Lord. What more can David say to you? You know your servant, Lord. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you've worked all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Yahweh God. There is none like you. There is no God beside you. But one nation in the earth is like your people, like Israel, whom God went to redeem to himself for a people, and to make himself a name, and to do these great things for your land and before your people, whom you redeemed to yourself out of Egypt, from the nations and from their idols. Now, O Lord God, the word that you've spoken about your servant and his family, confirm it forever and do as you've spoken. Let your name be magnified forever.